You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vedrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And it is a big week for musical theatre as yet another movie musical gets added to the ongoing list of 2021. I mean, there have been a lot of them this year, not that I'm complaining at all. We've had Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights and the big screen Dear Evan Hansen film and the slightly more homegrown Everybody's Talking About Jamie, and we're heading towards Steven Spielberg's new version of West Side Story at the start of December, and that's in addition to a load of like animated films with songs and a whole host of filmed stage shows that we've had this year as well. 2021 really does feel like the year of the movie musical, doesn't it? Well, I've got another one for the list now, and my God, does it blow the rest of them out of the water. Welcome to Tick, Tick, Boom.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. I'm Jonathan Larson. I am 29 years old. I work at the Moondance Diner. I have an original rock musical.
Hey, boy genius.
That I have spent the last 8 years of my life writing.
He's getting out.
You're gonna be rich and famous.
And rewriting.
Can I hear it?
Any day now.
8 years! And the time keeps ticking. Tick, tick.
You need to ask, are you letting yourself be led by fear or by love?
Fear! 100% fear!
Fear or love, baby, don't say the end.
So Tick, Tick, Boom started life as a semi-autobiographical rock monologue by Jonathan Larson, the man who went on to create the musical Rent. And it tells the story of an aspiring composer named John, who's living in New York City at the start of the 1990s and struggling with life and relationships and his decision to try and make a career in the theatre when he can't quite seem to get his big break. Originally, it was performed as a solo piece by Jonathan Larson, and it went through various rewrites and different names, and then eventually it became a fully formed musical in and of itself when David Auburn decided to streamline it and turned the monologue into a three-person musical. And he did that after Jonathan Larson's death in 1996. So, like Rent, it's a show that Jonathan never actually got to see the way that we now know and love it. Because if you're not familiar with Jonathan Larson as a composer, you may not know that he died of an aortic dissection in the early hours of the 25th of January 1996, the very same day that Rent opened for its first ever off-Broadway preview in New York. It's really genuinely very sad that he never lived to see the global sensation that he'd become, and his many, many awards, the Tonys and the Pulitzer Prize and so on, they all came to him posthumously. But, as I said, after his death in 1996, the playwright David Auburn decided to turn Tick, Tick, Boom into a musical, and it opened in 2001, and it's now the version that we kind of associate most with the name Tick, Tick, Boom. And it's that version that has now been turned into a new movie musical. It was released last week on Netflix, directed by Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda in his feature film directorial debut, and has a screenplay by Stephen Levinson, who also wrote Dear Evan Hansen both on stage and on screen. So we have a very theatrical, creative team working behind the camera and telling the story of one of the biggest names in theatre as well, with a cast of mainly theatre people too. What could go wrong? Well, nothing, I am so pleased to report. Tick, Tick, Boom is hands down one of the most accomplished, most impressive, most spectacular movie musicals I've seen in a very long time. In 2021, which, as I've already said, is pretty much the year of movie musicals, this blows everything else out of the water. It is the perfect blend of theatre and film, so it feels like a really effective piece of cinema in how it's shot and edited and put together. Like, it's a good film in and of itself. But that almost doesn't matter because the theatrical side of things are even more impressive. The songs are brilliantly performed, they fit the narrative perfectly and never feel out of place. The way that they are staged captures the nostalgia of old movie musicals while still feeling really fresh and current and clever. And the way that those two worlds, the film and the musical, blend together is so impressive. I mean, I remember when I was reviewing Everybody's Talking About Jamie, I praised that film for leaning into the fact that it's a movie musical, and I stand by that completely. But in Jamie, most of the songs are staged kind of like music videos because they're only happening in Jamie's own head, and it works really well and allows them to be really creative and flamboyant and spectacular and then kind of tone it down and return to the normality of the dialogue and the film outside of the musical, if that makes any sense. Tick, Tick, Boom is not like that. Tick, Tick, Boom blends the two together so seamlessly, and the way it's framed is that the character of Jonathan Larson, played by Andrew Garfield, who we'll come on to later, he's basically performing a concert in the present day, so actually like 1991, probably in the context of things. And in that concert, he's telling the audience all about how he tried to make a giant science fiction musical and about the days leading up to its first public workshop just before his 30th birthday and everything that came about from that. So the songs actually exist properly in the concert where Jonathan and his two friends are performing them. But they then feed back into like the story part of it all, where you get the big musical theatre style sequences that make it feel like a more traditional movie musical. In fact, the best comparison I can make, and honestly the highest praise I can give it, is that it feels really reminiscent of the film version of Chicago, where you kind of have this meta musical within the movie that you're watching. And like, that's what I've been waiting for all of this time. There's a reason us theatre fans have been comparing all of these movie musicals to Chicago for the last 20 years. It's because Chicago was bloody brilliant, and we've been waiting for something to come along that understood film and theatre as two separate mediums that can be used and brought together. And even with the success of things like The Greatest Showman and La La Land and Les Mis, like, nothing has ever come close to achieving that until Tick, Tick, Boom. I mean, I watched it with my housemate, who's like a proper film person and can be a bit iffy about movie musicals, and we both really loved Tick, Tick, Boom. It blends things together so well, and for that reason, it also never feels in your face. Like, yes, it is a movie musical, obviously, but it never feels like, this is the movie bit, and now this is the musical, and now we're back to the movie, and oh wait, here's a big song now. It just feels so intertwined and consistent, and it flows really, really well. So already that should win you over a little bit, because it is visually spectacular and incredibly cinematic. But then on top of that, the cast is so, so good. I mean, it's all well and good at making a movie that looks impressive if you don't then have performers to back it up. Not that I'm going to name any names here. I'm thinking of a few examples. Maybe you are too. But Tick, Tick, Boom offers some of the most accomplished movie musical performances I've seen in a very long time. I mean, for a start, the entire cast is literally made up of Broadway names, so you know people should be pretty good at this. It's basically like playing Where's Wally with the Broadway community. So you've got Joshua Henry and Vanessa Hudgens as the people performing in the concert with Jonathan. There's Danny Burstein and Judy Kuhn as Jonathan's parents. Laura Benanti rocks up to host a focus group made up of Danielle Ferland, Michaela Diamond, and Utkarsh Ambudkar. Jonathan himself works in a diner alongside MJ Rodriguez and Ben Levi Ross. Kate Rockwell and Joel Perez perform in his sci-fi musical show. Richard Kind plays an uptight bigwig in the theatre industry. Composers like Mark Shaman and Chad Begulin and Janine Tesori, Alex Lacanoir, Stephen Schwartz, and even Jason Robert Brown, they're all there at this theatre workshop that Jonathan attends. Roger Bart appears as a customer in the background of one of the diner scenes. Chris Jackson and Jelani Aladdin attend the concert that Jonathan's hosting. Like, The list goes on and on and on. And that is all in addition to a specific designated number called Sunday, which parodies a song of the same name in Stephen Sondheim's musical Sunday in the Park with George, but reinvents it to be about working a busy shift at a diner. And it's just an ode to Broadway legends. The people that cameo in that song alone is unbelievable. I kept gasping and squealing with excitement every time someone new arrived. So it starts with Howard McGillan, the longest running Phantom in Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, having played the part for like a full-on decade. He sat at the diner with Chuck Cooper from things like Chicago and Caroline or Change. And then, if we're going in order of appearance, you then get a sneaky cameo from Lin-Manuel Miranda himself as the diner's chef. Then there's Joel Grey, the original MC in Cabaret and the original wizard in Wicked. He appears as a disgruntled customer trying to get the check. Andre DeShields from Hadestown rocks up trying to get a table, which really made me laugh because my housemate doesn't know as much about theatre, and she cheered and went, "Oh my God, it's the guy from the TikTok Ratatouille musical." Then we have Brian Stokes Mitchell from Ragtime and Kiss Me Kate and The Prince of Egypt. There's Philippa Sue and Renee Elise Goldsberry from the original cast of Hamilton. You've got longtime legends Felicia Rashad and Bebe Neuwirth up against Beth Malone from Fun Home, who incidentally was also in Angels in America with Andrew Garfield. Chita Rivera from the original West Side Story. She goes full on Ladies Who Lunch in terms of how she's styled. There's a particularly special moment when Andrew Garfield takes hands with Bernadette Peters, who was in the original cast of Sunday in the Park with George. And that's nice because obviously, like, it's a song that pays homage to that show musically anyway. Then you get Adam Pascal, Daphne Rubin-Vega and Wilson Germain Heredia, all from the original cast of Jonathan Larson's Rent, to cap off that list. Like, I saw someone online had described it as Avengers Endgame for musical theatre fans, and my housemate compared it to the song along bit in the Will Ferrell Eurovision film. Both are pretty accurate descriptions for this one single number, but neither can come close to capturing the sheer theatrical joy of seeing so many Broadway legends in one place. And in a song that is so clearly celebrating Broadway in the theatre industry too, it really is so special. I also realised there was a lot to cover just there, so I will put a link in the post here to an article that runs through basically everyone in the entire film. It's like a tick list of who to look out for that you can follow through in order of appearance when you watch it. They even actually make note of the voice used on the answering machine at the very end of the film, which I won't spoil for you here, but it's a brilliant little Easter egg for you to look out for. And that, I think, brings us quite nicely onto the crowning glory of this film, which is Andrew Garfield himself. Now, Andrew Garfield can definitely act. We know that. He won a Tony Award for the play Angels in America. He's been nominated for an Oscar, for an Olivier, for a couple of Golden Globes, and for three BAFTAs. He's been in numerous films, including, probably most famously, playing Spider-Man, if that's how you know him best. But it was still a little bit of a concern that none of us had ever really heard him sing before, and then he was going to be playing the lead in a movie musical about one of the most prolific musical theatre composers of all time. Well, I'm happy to report any concerns or worries that you might have had were totally unfounded. Andrew Garfield is simply incredible. He just is. There's no other word for it. His acting is impeccable throughout, and the way he captures the essence and mannerisms of Jonathan Larson himself, it sits just on the right side of paying homage to him rather than copying him directly, which is great to see. But then Andrew Garfield's voice is just gorgeous. I mean, I'd been listening to the soundtrack long before the film came out, so I knew it was going to sound pretty good. But when you put all the elements together, it's just movie musical magic. I've seen a lot of reviews actually saying that this is the standout performance of Andrew Garfield's career, and I have to agree, it absolutely is. There's no other way of describing it. He also plays really well off Robin DeJesus, who plays Jonathan's best friend Michael, in what is yet another stellar performance from Robin. I mean, he is a staple name on Broadway, having been in the original cast of In the Heights, as well as La Cage aux Folles and The Boys in the Band, all of which he was Tony nominated for. So Tick, Tick, Boom really is just another string to his already very impressive bow. And the way he alternates between moments of levity and very hard-hitting topics feels incredibly authentic. It's a pleasure to watch. And then to cap off that particular trio is Alexandra Shipp as Jonathan's girlfriend, Susan. Now, before this, I knew her best for being in the Nickelodeon series, House of Anubis, as well as playing the younger version of Storm in the X-Men franchise. But I had never heard her sing before, and oh my god, she has one of my favourite voices in the entire film. Her version of Come to Your Senses, which she performs alongside Vanessa Hudgens, is so gorgeous. I've been listening to it non-stop. So again, just another reason to watch this, because the cast are every bit as brilliant as the film itself, and working hand in hand together, it just lifts everything up. It's so, so impressive. I just think, and this is probably where I'm going to start trying to like wrap up my thoughts on this, I just feel like you can tell how much care has gone into this film from a theatre perspective. I know that movie musicals often try to appeal to as wide an audience as possible, and it can be really difficult to satisfy fans of film and fans of theatre simultaneously. And without sounding too harsh, a lot of the time, that very focus on trying to win everyone over actually comes at the expense of the film, and you kind of lose everyone. And it's incredibly frustrating as a theatre fan watching people fall out of love with musical theatre, or to think that it's not for them because they've seen a bad movie musical that rubs them up the wrong way. Like, I kind of feel there's a duty of care, you know, for the theatre industry when you start making things commercially available to a much wider audience outside of theatre, which is great. We should absolutely be doing more of that and showing that theatre isn't exclusionary or elitist. But it's so disappointing when you take a successful stage show like Dear Evan Hansen or Cats even, and then turn it into a film which becomes a laughingstock. It's heartbreaking to see, and it feels like we're constantly fighting this uphill battle to prove that theatre actually is good. So when you then get something like Tick, Tick, Boom coming along, which, to be fair, isn't a massively well-known show anyway, you really want it to be treated with the care and respect and understanding that it deserves. And we have that in abundance with this film. It's a very theatrical creative team, check. It's a very theatrical cast, check. The way the story is told borrows from the feel of the stage show, check. The way the music is arranged and built into the narrative and then shot also makes it feel like a proper musical, check, check, check. It is absolutely a film that has theatre audiences at its heart and clearly in mind when it was being made. And it is so incredibly refreshing to have a movie musical like that, that has actually been made by people who know and understand and love theatre as much as the audience do, rather than someone who was just given a budget. Now, this may have been Lin-Manuel Miranda's directorial debut, and there are definitely things he still needs to learn and will improve upon naturally as his career progresses. But this is such an impressively theatrical film that you know it's been made to satisfy theatre audiences, and it really, really does. And in doing so, it also accepts and achieves what it's trying to do as a film in and of itself, and so it ends up winning film audiences over too. It is, in that way, a perfect movie musical, and long may this kind of movie musical continue, because we really need more of them. So if you want to see Tick, Tick, Boom for yourself, it's available to watch on Netflix right now. You can also follow some of the links here in the post to find out more about the film and hear some of the music. But do please go and watch it, because I think you will love it. And then come back here and let me know what you thought. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening, first at 6 p.m, live on urn1350.net with Showtime for a whole hour of glorious musical theatre tunes. And then I'll be right here again with another Spotlight On episode straight after that at 7 p.m. to let you know what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.